Luke chapter 10, just real quick, I'm going to read you a verse from Luke and a verse from John, and then we're headed over to Ruth chapter number 2. Luke 10 and verse number 2 says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Look at John chapter 4, John chapter 4, and verse number 35, Jesus speaking again. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Now, let's go to Ruth chapter 2. If the gospel work is likened by Jesus Christ as a harvest, and if those of us who are to be engaged in that gospel work are likened unto laborers working in that harvest, aren't you glad we got an entire chapter in the Bible about someone harvesting in a field and laboring in a harvest field? And so we're going to read Ruth chapter 2 together tonight. And we're going to see a man in this chapter who is a picture of the Lord of the harvest, because he really is in this chapter the Lord of the harvest. And we're going to see someone who is harvesting in his field under his direction. And we'll ask the Lord to help us to see some great truths about our work and our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please bless your word to our hearts tonight. Help us, God, to get the truth of what you've written. May we not add anything to your word. May we not take anything away from your word. Would you help me to speak the truth in love and say exactly what you want said? Help each one that's come tonight to hear and remember exactly what you want them to have. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, verse 1. "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Would you not say that the Lord Jesus Christ is a mighty man of wealth? Would you not say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the overseer, is the Lord? If he's the Lord of all, then he's the Lord of the harvest field. And what a picture that is. And then verse number 2 says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter." If you know the story of Ruth, she's an outlandish woman. If you know the story of Ruth, she got no business being in the land, much less working in the harvest field. And what she acknowledged is, I have a desire to work in the harvest field of that mighty man of wealth. But, it will take his grace to let me set foot in that field. It will take his grace to let me swing a blade on his grain. It will take grace, his grace, to allow me to gather sheaves in his harvest field. You know something tonight? I don't belong in the church of the living God. I don't belong in the family of God. I'm an outlandish man. I'm a Gentile by birth. I was lost all my life until one day Jesus Christ, by his grace, saved my soul. And you know something? It's an amazing thing that having a desire to work in his harvest field, that by his grace he would allow it. When you think about where you've been, and I don't want to drag you back into your past, but you think about where you've been and the things you've done and the sins that separated you and God and the conduct that merited all of us, earned us all a place in hell. And to think that God not only saved us, but when he was looking for laborers to go into his harvest field, when we said, I'd like to go, isn't it amazing that he said, go right ahead? That he would let us work in his harvest field. That's grace, amazing grace. Verse number 3 says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee." Not only did Jesus Christ say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, but right down in that's verse 15, 16. In verse number 20, the Bible says that they went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with them. Boaz is not off in New York City somewhere and there's a conglomerate running his farm. Boaz is not sitting in the big rich man's house with his feet propped up on the table. He's right out there in the field with the workers. And as those workers are working in his field, he is present with them. And when's the last time you went to work and the boss man walked in the morning and said, "Hey everybody, the Lord bless you." That's different. And when's the last time all the workers said to the boss man, "And the Lord bless thee"? But I'm telling you, when you go to work for Jesus Christ, not only is he right there with you in that harvest field, but he wants to bless you while you work, and you'll end up blessing him while you work. It's an entirely different type of employment than anything else you'll ever find in this world. I've had many, many, many secular jobs, and I have done many different types of work in my life. Now I'm a pastor. I don't have to work anymore. But back when I had to work more than one day a week on half a day on Sunday. Anyway, back when I had to work, I don't remember a job where everybody there was thrilled to be there and where everybody there was in love with the boss man and where the boss man was in love with everybody there. This is an unusual job scene right here, wouldn't you say? And that's what it's like working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says in verse number 5, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this?" Two great things in this verse. The Lord of the harvest has an overseer that is in direct fellowship with and communication with the reapers. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ right now, I know he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee," but he said, "I'm going to sit at my Father's right hand, but I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send another comforter." And I'm telling you, that Holy Ghost is overseeing this work. If he's not, it's just the business. If he's not, it's just some mega church numbers racket. But if it's God's work, if it's God's harvest field, the overseer is the Holy Ghost. And the overseer is reporting to the Lord of the harvest. And the Lord of the harvest is taking information from the overseer. And he takes note. He says, "Hey, we got a new worker here today, don't we?" And the overseer said, "We do." And he said, "Who is that?" And the overseer said, "Well, that's Ruth. She's a Moabitess. She's come to work here. Aren't you glad tonight?" Listen, this might be your first extended meeting since you started coming to this church. This might be your first revival meeting or Bible conference since you got saved. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God inside you is going to speak to your heart. When Pastor Brent is preaching on Sundays, or the guest preachers stand in this pulpit, and the Holy Ghost is going to say to you, "Get out there and do something for Jesus. Get out there and do something for Jesus." And you're going to say, I couldn't do that. Sure you could. Anybody could bend over and pick up grain. Anybody could swing a sharp blade and cut down some stalks of grain. You could do, anybody hand out a gospel tract. You could go on house-to-house visitation and say nothing. You go where the person knows what to say, and you go be the silent partner. But I'm telling you something. If this Saturday the bus ministry team rolled out, or if this Thursday night the door knocking team rolled out, and you said, I'm going, the Holy Spirit of God would say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "We got a new worker." And the Lord would say, "Tell me all about her. Tell me all about him." And they would report one to another. And I'm telling you, the Lord of the harvest would not say, "We don't want him." The Lord of the harvest would not say, "We don't want her." He said in John 4, "I want laborers. I need somebody to go out there and work." And what a glad thing it would be for the Holy Spirit to be able to introduce you as the new gleaner in the line out there in the harvest field. What a blessing that would be to the Lord. Now, notice in verse number 3, go back up there just for a minute. So she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. I appreciate all these young men right up front, these young ladies right up front. And one day, God might have one of you pastor in this church. Well, you men. One day God might have one of you running this church, one of you young ladies. And But somebody, if the Lord doesn't come for another 60 years, somebody's going to have to be the deacons, and somebody's going to have to be the assistant pastor, and somebody's going to have to be the song leader, somebody's going to have to be the musicians. But now listen, when Ruth got in that field, having not worked in that field before, when Ruth got to that field being a novice, you know what the Bible says in verse 3? She fell in behind the other reapers. She didn't say, "I'm here, watch me." She didn't say, y'all get out of the way, I know how to do this. She got in behind a Sunday school teacher. She got in behind a door knocker. She got in behind somebody on a mission trip. She got in behind somebody working in the nursery. She didn't walk in with all the answers, and she didn't walk in with all kinds of pride and haughty spirit. Listen, there's work for you to do in this church. But the first job for you to do is not in charge. The first job for you to do is get in behind somebody and watch how they cut grain and watch how they stack grain and watch how they bundle that grain and watch how they get along and cooperate with the other workers. It is a good thing to bear the yoke in your youth and learn how to work in that field. And that's what Ruth did. She didn't show up like they owed her anything. She didn't show up like she knew anything. She got in behind the experienced workers and followed their lead and followed their examples. Amen. Now, look at verse number 5 again. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Verse 7, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. You know what that is? That is good work being noticed by the overseer. That is good work being reported by the overseer to the Lord of the harvest. Whatever you do for Jesus Christ, it might not make the newspapers, if there still are newspapers. It might not ever make it on the internet news. It might not ever be reported even in the church you go to. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God, if you're out there cutting that grain, He'll let the Lord of the harvest know about it. And if you're bundling those sheaves, He'll let the Lord of the harvest know about it. And if you're working in good cooperation and good fellowship with a good heart and a good attitude, it will not go unnoticed. What a blessing. The Lord of the harvest said, who's that over there? And the overseer said, it's Ruth, and here's when she came, and here's when she started, and here's how long she's worked, and here's what she's brought in. And the Lord of the harvest took good note of the report given by the overseer. Man, I hope at the end of this week, I hope the Holy Ghost can report to the Lord Jesus Christ and say that I was in my place, that I stayed in my row, that I cut my grain, that I bundled my sheaves, that I was a blessing to the other workers. What a thing it is that the Holy Spirit takes note of the work we do for Jesus Christ and reports that to Jesus Christ. And look at verse 11, just jump ahead a little bit. The Bible says in verse 11, and Boaz, that's the Lord of the harvest, answered and said unto her, it hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherfore. The Lord of the harvest says to her, I have heard how you left the heathen. I have heard how you left the idolatry. I have heard how you came to God's people and worked in God's field under the name of the true and living God. I am not unmindful. How about that? Man, we sang songs tonight about years I spent in vanity and pride. God knows that. Caring not, the Lord was crucified. God knows that. But then one day, what'd you do? You came to Calvary. And the Lord of the harvest took note of that. And one day you said, now I've given to Jesus everything. And the Lord of harvest took note of that. And I'm telling you, when the world's not appreciating you too much, and maybe church folks aren't appreciating you too much, and kinfolk aren't appreciating you too much, you just need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is aware of everything you're doing for Him. He is not forgetful. He is not unmindful. He knows your work of faith, and He knows your labor of love. And that'll pay off in a little bit. Stay with me. Verse number nine. Bible says here, let thine eye, no, verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. You know what his advice is? Stay in fellowship. Don't bounce around. Don't look for another crowd. Don't change fields. Stay right here. You just keep working right here. I'm the man. You'll be glad you worked in my field. These are my people. You'll be glad you work with my people. Just stay right here. Verse 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. You know what we need? We need to keep our eyes on the field. I try to stay away from politics. I do. I try to stay away from politics. But if you get your eyes on Obama, Your eyes in the wrong place. You get your eyes on Hillary, God help you. Your eyes are in the wrong place. You get your eyes on Donald Trump, your eyes are in the wrong place. That's not political. I'm telling you, there is a harvest field out there full of souls that are dying and on their way to hell. And whether they're Republican or Democrat or Alabama or Auburn or American or Mexican or legal or illegal, if you get your eyes off the harvest field, you're going to miss your purpose in life. Come on now, politically, you could say, I don't like all these illegal immigrants. As a Christian, you could say, sure is easier having them come here for me to witness to than me having to go there to witness to them. You understand? Keep your eyes on the field. That's what the Lord of the harvest said to Ruth. Don't get looking over there. Well, over there in that field, that's not your problem. Well, there in that field, that's not your problem. You got a field. Get in your row. Work your row. But he says in verse number 9, have not I charged the young men that they should not touch thee? I know, you hear a report every now and then of some preacher did something terrible, some deacon did something terrible, some church person did something bad to you. I'm telling you, just add it all up. Your marriage is safer here than anywhere else. Your children are safer here than anywhere else. Your heart is safer here than anywhere else. The investment of your affections and your love and your care is safer here than anywhere else. If there's one field you can work where the co-workers won't hurt you, you got a better chance of that here than anywhere else. Amen. Don't come to me. I've been preaching 40 years. I've been hurt by church people every way you can be hurt by church people. But the vast majority of them have blessed me in ways that nobody in this world would ever bless me or could ever bless me. I am not going to let a few workers that quit on the job and a few workers that didn't do the job right make me pack my things up and leave this harvest field. Safer here than anywhere else. Better here than anywhere else. And then he said, when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now what a blessing. You get out there in that workaday world on Monday, but it's not just a job, it's a harvest field. And you witness for Jesus. And you get out there in that schoolhouse on Tuesday, and it's where you gotta be, but you use it. And you turn into a field and you witness for Jesus. And you're out there on Wednesday walking around in the neighborhood and you see the neighbors and you're just not another citizen of the town. You're in a harvest field and you tell them about Jesus. And then what do you get to do? You get to come in here on Wednesday night. And the preacher reaches down in that well of the water of life and gives you a sweet, refreshing drink of that living water. And you get back out there on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and do it all again. And then you come in here on Sunday and what do? You sit down. We call it a Sunday morning service. It ain't service. You're sitting in a padded pew in an air-conditioned building. You come to get served. And that preacher reaches in again and draws out and says, here's some more living water, sweet, refreshing water. And you drink it down and out you go again. What a blessing to have a place we can come in out of the harvest field and drink that water that others have drawn for us. Verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? I'm not a Calvinist. There's not a Calvinist bone in my body. There's not a Calvinist nerve ending in any part of my being. I don't believe that doctrine. So, but I'll tell you this. I get out there preaching on that street and I see those people mock and blaspheme and curse and swear. And there's something inside me that says, God, I don't know why that you made it so clear to me. I don't know why they can't see it. I can see it so clearly. I don't know why they don't love Jesus and you've given such a love for Jesus in my heart. But thank you, God, for putting me in this field. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be saved. You don't deserve to be saved. You could be one of those jailbirds out there. You could be one of those meth addicts out there. You could be some drunkard out there sleeping under the overpass. You could be on your third or fourth broken up marriage because you don't know how to get along with anybody. I'm telling you, don't get out there and give out your tracts and knock on your doors and build your Sunday school class and then look in the mirror and say, what a great man I am. Get down on your face and say, God, thank you for letting me work in this harvest field. God, I don't know. I don't deserve this. I don't know why you put me here, but I'm so glad to be here. Verse number 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Is that not an amazing thing? God's going to reward us. Think about that. You know who really wants, who really thinks a Heisman Trophy is important? Football players. You know who really thinks the Academy Award is important? Actors. You know who really thinks a Grammy is a big deal? Musicians. Are you Christian? To get a reward from Jesus Christ? To get a reward from God? Not in the presence of a bunch of heathen down here. Who would care if God gave you a reward? But when that rapture takes place and you stand at that judgment seat of Christ and everybody there is there because they love Jesus and you get a reward from Him there, whoo, that'll be a big deal. That'll be a big deal of all big deals. I'm telling you right now. And the Lord of the harvest said, I'm going to reward you for what you've done. Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. She said, you know what? I got here late. While they were working in the field, I was over there in Moab with those idols. While they were out here serving the Lord of the harvest, I was over there worshiping all that crazy stuff. I didn't know what I was doing. But ever since I've come here, His words have comforted me. Ever since I've come here, He's talked to me just like He talks to everybody else. Isn't that amazing? You know, your pastor, Brother Brent, and your other guest speaker this week, Brother Fallour, I can't tell you how much I both admire and envy these two guys. I mean this. They don't have any past to wish they didn't have. They've just been all for Jesus since they were old enough to know they were living for Jesus. And I sit here sometimes in church and just, I don't know how your mind works, my mind just being what it is, it goes back to some sinful place or some sinful time or something I never should have done and some place I never should have been. And you know something, I you'll understand the way I'm saying this. These two guys belong here. They've been true to God ever since their mother and father told them to be true to God. I don't belong here. And yet when we sang that song tonight, Jesus, what a friend of sinners. He's as much my friend as He is theirs. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He's as much my Savior as He is theirs. And I just say with Ruth, I said, it's an amazing thing when you speak those words of comfort that they don't just land on the people been in this harvest field for a long time. They landed on me too. And I'm not like them. I don't look like them. I don't think like them. I don't have memories like they have. But when that preacher preaches and says, when that trumpet sounds, we're going to be caught up, that's me. And that scripture says we get to heaven, we get a glorified body and be with Christ. That's me. That's me. I spent some time in Moab before I got in this field. But the Lord of the harvest speaks the same comforting words to me as He does the people that grew up in this field. Praise God. Praise God for that. Now look at verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Left, she went back out to work. You know what you're doing tonight? You came in from that field, the field is the world. You know what you're doing tonight? You're sitting with the other reapers. You know what Jesus Christ is doing tonight? He's just reaching out some corn. Say, here, feed on this. Here, get nourished on this. Here, get your strength built up on this. That good food, Good food. Brother Joel gave you some good food last night. Brother Tim gave you some good food on Monday night. Brother Brent gave you some good food Sunday morning. Brother Chuck gave you some good food on Sunday night. All right, gee, that's good, wasn't it? What a blessing. Let's get back out in the field. See what we do? We go and work, we come in and eat. We go and work, we come in and eat. We go and work, we come in and eat. And we all sit together. We all sit together. The reapers, feeding together on the word that the Lord of the harvest feeds us by his own hand. 15, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. This is my observation. I'm not going to say this absolute true. This is my observation. When I was a brand new Christian, and I got on my bicycle and put my paperback Bible and a rubber band around a bunch of tracts and that basket of that bicycle and went out riding around through my town looking for people to witness to, I'm telling you, those first 2-3 years, I saw so many people saved. It was wonderful. I saw so many people saved. And then when I started preaching and started going traveling, preaching meetings, I saw so many people walk the aisle and bow their heads and trust Christ as their Savior. And it used to really bother me. I still witness like I used to. I still talk to people like I used to. I preach more than I ever did. I don't see that many people saved. But in our church and every good church I go to, people are still getting saved. You know what I think the Lord does? He knows I'm not going to quit. He knows Brother Wyman and his wife aren't going to quit. He knows Brother Ray's not going to quit. You know what I think he does? I think when there's somebody out there ready to get saved, I think he sends one of these new Christians out there. I think he sends one of these young people out there and lets them knock on that door. I think he drops those handfuls on purpose in their path, so they can be so excited and so encouraged about this work that they'll get locked in. I'm telling you, we go three times a week, Saturday night, Orlando, Saturday night, Daytona Beach, Friday night, DeLand, out there for an hour or two, preaching the gospel, hardly see anybody saved. I'm okay, I want to see people saved, I'm not quitting. The people have been out there doing that for years, they're not quitting. But you know, a person just got saved and they're not sure if this is the way to go and they're not really locked in yet. There's a good chance a lot of them will quit in a year or two. You know what I think the Lord does? I think he gives them a soul to win. I think he gives them a new friend to sit with in church. I think he gives them somebody to show them where Ruth is in the Bible. I think he gives them somebody to call them up and say, hey, can you pray with me? I'm really having a problem. I think God drops handfuls of purpose in the lap of the new workers so they can get as excited about working in this field as some of us are that have been in it for a long, long time. I don't see a lot of fruit, but I'm all in. I got nowhere else to go. I'm not interested in going anywhere else. Some of you, you're not all in yet, and you're not sure yet. You know what God's going to do? If you just get out there and knock on some doors, if you just start speaking up on your job, you know what God will do? He'll let you see some people saved that your pastor won't see saved and your youth pastor won't see saved. He's going to drop something in your lap. And I'm glad he does. I'm glad he does. I like him working that way. It's okay with me. If you get to win the soul, not me, as long as they're one, I'm all right. Now look at verse 17. Oh, I'm heading down the home stretch. Brother Tim's coming. So, now watch this. She gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was an ephah of barley. When she was done harvesting, there was still work to do. She had to take what she'd gathered in the field and separate the chaff from the wheat. She had to take what she gleaned in the field and work it so that it was fit to make bread and flour and Mountain Dew cake and all those wonderful things that you do with that grain that you bring in out of the field. You know what has really hurt our churches across America? 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. And nobody's there Sunday morning. Nobody's there Sunday night. Nobody's there Wednesday night. You try to go back and have Bible study and nobody wants to open the door. I'm telling you something. We ought to work in the field. We ought to cut that grain, but we ought to bring in those sheaves. Bringing the song isn't cutting down the sheaves. The song is bringing in the sheaves. Don't just go, don't come in here and tell me you want 25 people of the Lord. Bring them in here. Don't tell me you had a tent meeting, 300 people got born again. Bring them in here. Let's get the chaff out. Let's get the good grain to show up. Let's make something out of it. Amen. Amen. She didn't just work in the field. And you know what? When she didn't leave it in the field. You understand? I've harvested this grain for the master. And the grain needs to go to the use of the master. It doesn't need to just be cut down and left out here in the field. You understand what I'm saying? All right, you ready? Watch this. So she labored in the field, right? Started the she came in there, got in on that harvest, worked with other laborers, live in water, keep her refreshed, fed at the table of the Lord of the harvest, safe, protected, gleaning, all of that. Verse 18. And she took it up and went into the city. Ha ha. You know what 1 Thessalonians 2 said? Paul said, I'm excited because one day when I go up, you're going up. There's a city. It's called the New Jerusalem. Lord of the harvest dwells in that city, high and lifted up. And one day when this harvest work is over, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go up into the city. And when I go up into the city, I do not want to go empty-handed. I want to bring with me armfuls of sheaves that I have gleaned out in the harvest field. So up she went in the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Now watch this. This is really a blessing. Saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. This is so interesting to me. Naomi says to Ruth, where did you labor? And she says, I labored with Boaz. She said, what field were you in? And she said, Boaz was there. You know what? If that trumpet sounds tonight, I heard that fella, he was tuning up that trumpet, and I closed my eyes and I thought, maybe it's not him. One day somebody's going to tune up a trumpet. And at the last trump, the last trump. See, prophecy fulfilled before I know. One day that trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that not right? Amen. You know something? We get there, we're not going to get to heaven and say, well, my field was Ardmore. My field was Greenville. My field was New Guinea. My field was Mexico. My field was Florida. You know what we're going to say? I got to work with Jesus. Jesus was with me. Jesus put me to work, and Jesus fed me, and Jesus protected me, and Jesus brought me here. Naomi said, where did you labor? And she said, never mind that. Boaz was there. She said, no, what was the name of the field? She said, I'm not even sure, but it belonged to Boaz. Won't that be a blessing? Now, the Bible's such a great book. When that harvest was over, and she went up into the city and took that grain with her, you know how the story ends? Yeah. The Lord of the harvest married her. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And they lived together happily ever after. You know what's going to happen when this harvest field work is done? Yeah. We are going up to that city. Yeah. We are going to be rewarded by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then He's going to marry us. His bride. an outcast, outlandish, idol-worshipping woman who didn't even belong in the country, much less working in the field, ends up the bride of the Lord of the harvest. That's your future if you're saved. Praise God.